Hey guys, coming at you live from a storage room inside a storage room on a set that looks like your dad's basement. It's Don't Mess with Christine Sidelko on CastBox, produced alongside Studio 71. If you haven't heard of CastBox, it is one of the fastest growing new podcast apps on the market. It's available for iOS and Android. And you can listen to Don't Mess on your other podcast platforms, but I hope that you give CastBox a try. I think it's a really great app. You can find all of your favorite podcasts on there, including, hopefully, mine. Don't mess. Hey guys, welcome back to Don't Mess with Christine Sidelko. I am Christine Sidelko. I am joined here by the most wonderful man in the world, Brandon Wadjoz. Excuse me.
I wish I was Brandon Wadjoz.
I wish he was my boyfriend. Well, we'll get into that later. Brandon Rogers is here as my guest.
Hello.
Clapping starts now.
Thank you, Christine.
They're a little slow. No, I'm exempt from that.
Well, this is going to be awkward from here on out.
Yes, anyway. and unfortunately, I'm here joined by Jordan Wawona.
Not my name.
Jordan Wawona, my manager at Studio 71, produced alongside CastBox and Studio 71.
That's right.
Anyway, Brandon Rogers is a 29-year-old actor, director, YouTuber, and comedian. His channel, Brandon Rogers, has 4 million subscribers. He's 29 years old, according to Famous Birthdays, who had you listed at 28.
They did. They're very generous.
Have a month.
Well, you know what? I think I'm ageless.
I think you're immortal as well.
I am.
And I look forward to seeing you at the apocalypse.
Christine, here's a word I never get to use very often. I'm quite vampiric. I don't get to say it too much.
Somehow I think you do say that.
I'm sorry.
What
is the term?
It's vampiric. Vampiric.
And what is that? Well, you look like a vampire?
Listen to me. It's an adjective, and it describes one who has vampiric quality, like teeth and very mysterious teeth, dark, handsome, many of the traits that I share with vampires.
Yes. Yeah. Now I feel uncomfortable.
Well,
a little bit.
Well, I've never uncomfortable.
Probably because of your vampiric qualities.
I could end any of your lives at any moment, even the the weasel back there with the camera. I could like that.
Well, I'm human. I could do that too.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
So what?
Yeah.
In terms of your career and getting back into the intro.
Oh yes.
Let's get through a little bit of how you got started and okay. How you got to where you are.
All right. Well, I guess I started like any person who wants to be famous on the internet. I just made videos that I thought were in the womb. Yes. I had my little iPhone up inside my mother's vagina. What are we allowed to say on
anything
here?
Anything you want.
Anything
yeah.
except racial slurs, I'm
right.
assuming.
The cock, pussy, tits, shit, fuck, everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
All good. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, up inside my what did I do? I made videos. I like to make them, you know, like anyone else, and no one watched me. I made them for 10 years and no one watched me.
I watched.
And thank you.
It's honestly another reason why I'm here. I mean, it's not just the structure because of the weed issue. It's also because I'm a huge fan.
Oh, well, thank you.
I did watch your stuff like 6-7 years ago.
That
I remember. Yeah, I mean, I remember some really messed up stuff that you did.
I wasn't even born yet.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get into that.
My sense of humor back then. I didn't know what was. I don't know. I guess I took risks because I wasn't a big YouTuber, so I didn't have the risk of that might offend. But we just kind of made whatever we wanted.
Mm-hmm. You're saying, no one's gonna see it.
Yeah, pretty much. We're like, no one's gonna watch this.
Was it also attention driven? Like, did you go beyond the point of comfort just to get attention?
Exactly. You kind of do anything. You know, you always want to push the line even further than you would if you are in a place of success. You want to push the line further because you want to be recognized. But then it's like what you don't realize is one day you might actually become famous, and then you have to look at all those like terrible things you made trying to get famous and just like sweep them all up and clean them up. So it's Where are we going? This is you're supposed to keep us structured.
Well, yeah, you're like confessing
to like, talking where about... you got to. Yes. I cut you off and interrupted you with asking you about some of the stuff you did 5 or 6 years ago, but you were doing that stuff 5 or 6, 7 years ago.
Right.
And then...
Right. Well, I moved to Los Angeles. I thought that I could just come here and make it big, and I lost everything. I lost my car. I worked at a law firm for 3 years. Mm. I gave up on like all my dreams. And then one of my videos went viral, or was on Vine. It blew up on Vine. And then another video of mine blew up on Vine, and no one knew who I was, but they just knew these characters in 6-second intervals were just popping up all over Vine. And so FBE at the time, the Fine Brothers, they found me. And
how did you react to that?
It was weird. It was weird because it was
very nice, Christine.
Oh, I see what she did there. Well, I went, and for those of you who can't see at home, I'm making a very surprised face.
Thumbnail.
That's how I look.
Yeah.
It's a good surprise sound, too.
Yes. Okay, I'm going back to my normal face. And so, yeah, they made a video about me, and I woke up the next morning and I had 27,000 new subscribers, and then... you know, the next day I had a bit more, and it just blew up from there. And that was about almost 3 years ago that happened. So now it's, here I am, and it's like all this has seemed so fast. It's, well, I mean, like, when how long ago was it for you that you like knew that you were suddenly you were famous?
I don't really think I was kind of big on Vine. I only had like 500,000, which wasn't even that much. So I didn't really think, I mean, because it was just Vine. I didn't really get recognized on the street, whatever. It wasn't until YouTube blew up.
Oh. I mean, you had like, a lot of Vine compilations, though, that were like really popular.
Yeah, I've seen, I knew you because of so many other people who had shared your, so it was your image that I think.
Well, yeah, well, I guess people would stop me as, oh, you're the girl. Blank Vine right. girl.
And I get
but
that
then,
too.
And then YouTube, but then they're like, oh, you're Christine. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, I think
like,
you had, I think it was the Vine, and then you had about like 5 to 10 videos like in a row with like vlogging that went really big. They probably all got like 500 to a million views. And like, I think at that point, it was like, okay, cool.
People just love you.
Social media star.
They just love you. I think you could just like do anything and they're just going to adore you and slap it on a bumper.
Yeah, just, a lot of people do, but you know, a lot of people don't. So it's just like, I'm just going to cater to people that do.
Which is maybe a topic. I mean, we were talking about this yesterday with Nikki Limo, but we were talking about hate comments. Christine has an issue with reading some hate comments. And then,
hate comments can really make it, it just takes one hate comment to trump like 100, you know, pros.
Yeah, we don't use that term on this podcast.
Trump?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, in all fairness, I used it in it meant something negative.
What, you're three strikes, you're out.
But you also, you can't bring me on a podcast and tell me what, you know, what I'm gonna say things.
What was your first viral that you were talking about before you...
The first video that ever blew up, it was a parody of that kid David After the Dentist. I parodied it where instead of dental drugs altering my brain, I am smoking a giant joint. I'm a 9-year-old smoking a fat joint in the back of the car, and he stands up and he screams, and that video went viral, and that was the first time I ever tasted that. It's a weird feeling to think, wow, it's going out there.
Maybe you could do a little reenactment for us right now.
So I just, that last cough, you know?
Yeah.
There was something came out on my arm.
Okay.
Right? And I, you know, I went like that.
Okay.
And then I remembered that this is on camera. So.
Christine,
yeah. I'm embarrassed. I don't know what to tell you.
No, I mean, I think we're gonna all have to live with the consequences.
You know,
Christine, that's disgusting.
It really is. I just was too high to get a napkin. I saw a blanket. I wiped it. You know, I'm a human being.
Oh my god.
You know, sometimes
mucus is like my number one gross point.
I don't know,
some reason I can handle blood, shit, cum, piss. For some reason, saliva, mucus, anything in this zone, I just.
Yeah. Do you want to apologize to everybody or no?
I'm
that's just what you're going
to... I mean, it's a natural thing.
I'm embarrassed, but you know, I'm not proud, but I'm not apologetic.
Christina, it happens to all of us.
Yeah. Sure. Well, anyway, Jordan, I don't like you here.
Right.
Well, I like Jordan. I like Jordan, however...
Elaborate, please.
Well, I think that everyone in this... I like you.
No, please talk. Why do you like Jordan?
I like this ball. Can anyone see a ball that there's a big? I hope I didn't.
This
break
is somehow
it.
Even less structured.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can bring it back to structured if you
well,
like.
Well, let's talk. Okay, so then, and then, yes, and I made every choice that I made, and here I am today.
Wow.
And now I wound up on this podcast. Yes, what's your next question? There we go. We're back on track.
That was great. Okay. Well, I think the last thing we were doing was doing a reenactment of the David After Dentist video.
okay. Which, well, he takes a, have you seen this video?
His video or your video?
Have you seen the one that I,
yes,
the, okay.
I saw it, yeah.
So I'll do a part where he goes, and then he holds it in, and then I do a big scream. Like that, and then I punch the, well, there's no actual glass here, but I punch through the glass window because the kid's very stoned and doesn't know what's going on. I'm sorry, the cameraman has the headphones on, and I just did that scream. You're good. I got a
sorry,
thumbs
our
up.
Producer Mark.
Mark, the producer.
A limiter. It's all good.
Okay, good.
I've been watching your videos for a really long time, and one of the things that I think is so insane about your videos is the storytelling, how you go from, you know, one point of view to another point of view and back to the first point of view and then to a third point of view.
It's called quick cuts.
Not just quick cuts, but
it's
different characters.
QuickBooks. It's called H&R Block.
That is what it's called, yes. And it's kind of incredible. And I don't know if any other YouTubers have really been able to do that. And so, I mean, how is the question. And then really I just want to know the actual way that you get through just creating one video.
A lot of it's just having, I think, a big imagination or a very dense imagination and letting that, giving that full autonomy. Because some people will have wild imaginations. Oh, people aren't going to think that's funny or it's stupid or it's not. It's like, just let loose. My opinions are what I sat to, like every character is a representation of my opinion of that type of person. So they're all satires of types of people or types of viewpoints, right? Like the closeted, you know, the chipper closeted Republican or the angsty school administrator or the miserable store clerk. They're all kind of viewpoints we can all relate to, and I just have really wild imaginations. I'm like, what's the worst way I could depict this person? Oh, she's having her period, or he's riddled with this disease, or he's blah, 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 blah. And I just try and just make him as offensive as possible. And
yeah,
I don't know. I think sketch comedy used to be really big on YouTube back in the day. And I don't think I stopped sucking from that teat. I don't feel like I stopped, like everyone else just gave up on sketch comedy, it feels like. And I'm like the only one who still, so as long as I'm putting it out there and people like it, I know that there's still a place for it, and I will still be that pillar.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not.
You kind of have
many
a monopoly
people
on it right now.
right now, I do. But I have a prediction that, like, in a few years, it'll be back.
I think part of it was just because it might have been like one of the reasons like YouTube works so well is because of the relationships it builds with the YouTubers, the personalities.
Right.
And with the comedians, you don't really build that relationship. It's great entertainment, and unless it's like the best entertainment, you might not win. Because it's hard to get people to keep coming back unless it's that good, and yours is that good.
Oh well, thank you. No, I've been wildly lucky with it, because not very many sketch comedians. Because I'm not the only good sketch comedian or halfway decent sketch comedian out there. There's a lot of really awesome sketch YouTubers out there that just don't. I was just one of the few that happened to get lucky, and then, you know, continue working harder once that luck hit me.
Yeah.
And so it's just a few, you know, the stars aligned, and if I had to do it all over again, I would not be able to. But I don't know. The best part is when you get to a certain level where you get to work with people that you are either a fan of or that you I don't know, that vibe with your sense of humor. Like, I don't know if the comments that you saw, so many people were saying like, oh, she fits right in with this universe. So it's kind of cool because it felt like, yes, it was a collab, and you're obviously a very big YouTuber. But if it fit the part regardless, like you were still like perfect for that role. I think everyone in that video is just perfect for the part that they played.
I really belong in a moo-moo, I feel like.
Just so everybody knows that, like, about that video, because I just watched this, and it was one. Honestly, I'm not kidding. I probably watched it six or seven times already.
I've been telling people, you've been making people watch it.
There's a lot happening in that video.
It's one of the greatest YouTube videos, maybe ever, I think, in my opinion. I mean, how did you guys, how did, so like on the process of that one, so first, how did you guys get in touch? Because I actually didn't, I didn't even know that. Like, well, I didn't know you guys were even discussing that.
Yeah, I have a life outside of you, Jordan.
Well, I didn't know that. I mean, I usually read your DMs, your emails, your texts.
Well,
so
maybe
I didn't know.
You CC me some more and I'll CC you at
were
the
you,
door. I don't
were
know.
Were you guys WhatsApping? Is that how you were
communicating?
We did not WhatsApp.
I don't own that. No, he had already had the script and everything, and he was like, and then you were like, and then you just sent it to me, and I was like, okay, and then there's a couple filming issues where I got stuck in an airport and stuff.
I remember
but,
that.
But then I came over and I filmed it, and it was really easy, and it was really fun.
Yeah, but like, on, cool. Okay, so now, on the video, like, how did that one start? Like, what was the process for that video?
Well, I met Christine,
Do you want to explain what the video is? Do you want to tell everybody what the video was so it's like actually?
I want to hear your description of the video.
Oh, okay. Like even describe like what happens?
Sure. I don't know. Okay. How would you describe it to someone who hasn't seen it?
All right. So it's called. Oh, okay. I'll try to like. I'm trying to explain it to my mom. Because my mom, I told my mom I was filming. She's like, oh, what are you filming? Oh, I'm just like some sketch with for my friend's YouTube. And she was like, can I watch it? And I was like, I guess. I don't know if she's watched it yet. But this is
God.
How. Okay, this is how to explain it. Okay.
You're getting plowed in that video.
Twice, I think.
Oh,
twice.
Yeah. I don't know. She's, I mean, I don't care. She probably cares. I just don't care that she cares.
Okay.
so it's like, okay, so it's called Every Chick Flick Ever. And it's like a fake movie trailer where it's just these scenes that have no context to them. Well, some of them are plot advancers, but most of them are just these out of context conversations that are just ridiculous. And it's the story of this girl, and she's got a crush, and she's just crazy. And then she works at a sex change clinic, sweeping up skins and such, which is one of my favorite lines. And then Axe falls asleep on the table and actually gets a sex change and turns into a boy. I play his mother.
Her and his, actually.
Yes, both at both points in my life, she is my mother. Yeah. Yes.
And I smoke cigarettes and I wear a muumuu and I have hair curlers.
And she
randomly
has a
fist. Children with spatulas.
Spatulas, yeah.
She randomly has a fist in her hand in some shots. She just is clutching a rubber.
Oh yeah, this is so funny.
How do you pay the gas bill? Because that was a point of reference in that video. Do you remember how?
I hate you.
Is it getting plowed?
This couple calls her him. God damn it. Calls him and are like, I'm the person who was supposed to get that sex change. I want my dick back. And like goes and tries to steal the dick from him. And there's like a shootout. And then at one point he's sitting. Like reading or something, the person who was gonna get the dick walks up, smashes him over the head with a bottle, and he goes, "Who's there?" And just funny little tidbits like that.
Basically, it's just a bunch of random. Anyways, she was hilarious in the video. Everyone was so fucking good in the video. We were about to make a point about this. What was the fucking point?
Well, we were getting to
how
you came up with it.
So I went to Playlist, and I already knew John Cozart, and I already knew Sky Williams, but I met Vincent Marcus and a couple other people at Playlist, and it turned out, like, we just all wanted, like, I said, I knew all these people. Should I divvy up and do a collab with each of them? And I said, no, I want to throw them all in one big collab and make it this epic trailer.
I am your Sims.
Right. And so I was on tour, and I woke up at, like, 3 in the morning, and the TV was still on, and it was, like, halfway through this. Have you seen Sex in the City 2?
Abu Dhabi do.
Okay. It is the most, for anyone who hasn't seen it, I don't care if you like or don't like Sex in the City, it is one of the most ridiculous and wildly unbelievable plots. And I'm sitting there watching and thinking, what the fuck movie is this? What, this movie is ridiculous.
And there's like the movie within the movie.
Yes, yes.
Where it's like, I have to go to Abu Dhabi, my boyfriend's filming this movie.
Right.
So stupid.
And so then it said, we'll be back with Sex in the City 2. I'm like, oh my God. I said, someone needs to make fun of chick flick movies. This can't stand unsatired. And so I went on YouTube and I searched for like chick flick parodies, and there were very few, and not many of them have a lot of views. And so I said, oh, this, no one's really made fun of this. So I said, I have this cast, I have this idea for like a fake movie trailer. Now I just need to write a movie that blankets all chick flicks ever, just makes fun of the genre entirely, and somehow cast all these people in it. So I had to write a script that involved Christine, Sky, John, Vincent Marcus, and a few other people. and I had to make those characters somehow all intertwine in a one story. And yeah. so I was
within a couple stories.
There's a few stories. You think the trailer's almost over, and then, oh, it gets serious again, and there's other, you know, things they have to overcome, and maybe it shows too much in the trailer. It showed, like, every plot twist. But I just thought, yeah, I wanted to do like a have a chick flick turn into a shootout, turn into a like a movie like Precious, and turn into a yeah. you know every, like five different films before the title comes up. So yeah,
how long? I mean, for the process of that, because to me,
this is just crazy to me because like I like sometimes don't tweet something just because I'm too lazy to type out a tweet.
That is true. I can actually confirm that. And that's a true thing.
Then you
that
just
happens.
Do that.
Yeah, we shot it the day before because we shot it, and then it was uploaded at 5 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah, I was like, when you posted it, he's like, 5 a.m. I'm like, this one?
Honestly insane.
Yeah,
that
this
is
upcoming
incredible.
5 a.m.?
Yeah.
I
mean,
yeah.
The work ethic and like the timing and all the things that need to go into that.
I sincerely enjoy editing. I think we were talking about this.
I called you a fucking crazy bastard.
I love editing. It's like knitting to me. It's very therapeutic, and I will stay it because for me, my peak time to upload is 5 a.m. either Saturday or Sunday morning. And so I will stay up either on a Friday or Saturday night and just edit all night. And that sounds like a miserable Friday night in to most people, but I love it. It's so much fun because you're working on something that millions of people are going to watch the very next week, starting tomorrow. And so I don't know. I love it. This video did weirdly well, and I want to do like a follow up to with a different genre. Like I want to do like every action film ever, or
action film that turns into a chick flick.
Right. Every documentary.
I used to love those. I used to look those up on YouTube, like fake trailers.
Yeah.
Like the
yeah,
do you know those? Who was it? Like Peter Gilroy, I think the
Bath
Boys or something.
Peter Gilroy.
Which one is this?
Oh, I should have
them
on
here.
They
did a trailer for it was called Air Borders, I think, and it was about
funny.
It was taking like business cards and making them like they put their fingers out the window and pretended it was like doing tricks on the
It was like a dramatic sports movie. It's like where they're the underdogs and then they make it all the way to the finals and then something goes wrong and like it's just funny.
But I used to. I mean, that stuff's incredible. Yeah, I mean that genre is huge and hilarious.
Oh, I love it.
And the satire elements are just like no one hit it like on the head like that yet.
Oh, I love shooting trailers are so much fun because there's no plot you have to follow necessarily. You can weave whatever plot you want throughout it, but most of it is just disconnected, out of context scenes of whatever. But I don't know. Maybe later this summer we should do another one.
Yeah, it makes me want to be creative because I just do vlogs because I'm lazy and I just I don't know.
Well, see, we were talking about this too. I think I do these because I'm lazy. Like I think vlogs seem like so much more strenuous work because you're having to my everyday life is my everyday life and my film life is my film life and they're quite separated. But for a vlogger, the line's quite blurred.
Yeah,
and to me that would be more tiring. Like having to film your whole life.
Well, I mean, I hate it. I do it. But I hate it. You know, it's like
hate it. You hate editing. This is what you hate.
And filming.
And filming, yes.
Yeah.
Well, really, yeah, you're right. You know, you do hate it.
I just it just
I'm
is
just
really
you don't hate it.
No, I hate it.
There's aspects you hate.
Virtually all of them.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's the appeal.
Well, it's just so awkward. I just feel like a douchebag walking through a store, pointing a camera at my face, talking.
Yeah, well,
I totally
why don't
you
write? I mean, seriously, try that.
I suck at writing. I can't write.
Yes, you can. Everyone can write.
No, I'm so bad. I despise it.
I know what you mean. I love to write when I'm good at it. Like if I have a good script, fuck yes, I love writing. But if I can't think of anything funny,
but it usually starts with something. It starts with satire. Like
starts,
you watch that trailer.
Yes.
Of,
my best work has always come from something in my everyday life, walking down the street, says something blindsides me, and I'm like, that's a video. The best stuff always. But it's like, sorry, I keep hitting the mic. You can't.
He warned you.
I know, he did.
He specifically said,
Christine, what a fool I am. We all get it. I don't. You cannot ask for that to just fall into your lap, to just suddenly find that thing that inspires you. You can go weeks without that spark. Or I've gone a week with like three of those sparks hitting me. I'm like, get three up, you know, video ideas back to back. And so, I don't know. It's like a commission job being a creator.
Maybe we should help me try to write that idea I told you about the National Treasure spoof.
Well, I told you this week. Just invite me over and I'll smoke you out. I am free tonight.
Okay, I have to do one after
seeing,
you.
I'm seeing a movie at 7:30.
Then just come after. I stay up late.
I stay up late too, so I'll come after the movie. Guess what movie I'm seeing.
Love, Simon.
I forget what movie it is. I forget what movie I'm seeing.
A Quiet Place.
I think it's Hotel Artemis. I think I'm going to a pre-screening
never
of that.
Even heard of it.
Do you think that the weed tonight might be distracting?
I never get invited to movie premieres ever. I don't know how people do.
It's not a premiere. It's a pre-screening.
Well, even stuff like that, hardly ever.
I know. I rarely ever do.
Well, it's because I don't dress up, and they know that.
I would love to dress up with you somewhere to something.
I refuse.
Do you go to Halloween parties?
This is a very unpopular opinion. Don't like Halloween.
You know, that's interesting because your really? Halloween costume, her Halloween costume, like to wear whatever she usually used to wear, right? Mm-hmm. A Texas shirt and a windbreaker and a visor was like the number two most sold Halloween costume last year in America.
That's such a widely out of base statistic,
but I think it's something like that.
Is it like an official costume
it's probably
that they
buy,
or they just go online and they assemble? Yeah. So there was a lot of Christine Sidelko's walking around.
It's like a Pinterest costume.
I personally saw two or three.
Well, it's a very distinct look, isn't it? Because I don't know very many women who have curly hair like yours. Your hair is very curly. You got it up in a bun. You always have the visor. And then you have the glasses with the thick tops and the thin bottoms. And then you always have some form of a bold statement on your shirt with a solid color. It's a very distinct look, and I very much like it.
Well, it's both practical and laziness.
Mm. It's easy practicality.
The visors are only because I have baby hairs that stick out and look bad when I get like sweaty or it's humid or something.
I understand.
So this keeps them down. Glasses. I used to wear contacts every day. My prescription expired, and I'm too lazy to get it renewed, so I've been wearing glasses for like a year.
The glasses fit very well.
Thank you. I like them.
They look great.
I'm thinking about getting back into contacts, though, because I hate cleaning them, and I kind of miss just being able to see.
Yeah.
So a lot of these issues go back to just laziness.
Yeah.
I have glasses, too. But see, here's where we differ again, Christine, because I have glasses because I'm lazy, and I think contacts are the more strenuous process. To me, cleaning the glasses, well, I just wipe them on my T-shirt, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And to those of you who can't see, I'm putting on my glasses, too. So Christine and I are matching.
Yes.
And,
Well, my eyesight is so bad. I need one or the other.
She has created quite a character with that. I think that's why the Halloween costume became so big. What were you saying about Halloween, by the way? Why'd you ask if that was her favorite holiday or if she liked it?
I was just curious what costumes you've had in the past.
I was into Halloween. I thought I was into Halloween where I like wanted to be funny, so I would like think of a funny costume. But
what?
I didn't actually like going trick or treat. Just kind
of. What were some of the costumes?
I was Ugly Betty one year. I was the Geico Gecko. I had like a gecko suit.
Oh wow! I'd really like to see a picture of that.
Yeah, did you have the tail?
Yeah, it was like a mascot suit, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The costume you wore for your last video was pretty funny.
That has not been posted.
Okay.
Thank you. But this is what we were talking about outside. Were we talking about pooping our pants?
Oh, yes.
It has a Halloween connection.
Okay, well, this is perfect.
Is this my chance?
This is your chance.
Okay, all right.
What's your podcast?
Me and Brandon were talking about pooping your pants, right? And I was saying that surprisingly, I've had a lot of close calls, but surprisingly, I've never pooped my pants. I've come close. Yes. I've definitely peed my pants.
Okay.
Never pooped my pants.
All right.
My friend, and I don't know if she's going to want me to say this, so I'm going to...
We'll keep her...
I'm gonna give her a fake name. Okay. Well, let's call her Claudia.
Claudia.
Claudia was a very good friend of mine in college. She is very funny. She's like Southside Chicago, like big Irish family, Catholic, funny. She wore like overalls, like thrift store clothes. She would like ride around campus on a scooter. She was like really short, but like had like hair down to her butt. Just like really just funny person just in everyday. She's just
super
funny.
Bubbly.
Yeah.
Great
she's
to be
just
around.
Funny.
Oh, yes.
And just so likable.
Yes.
Me and her and our other friend Carly.
Okay.
Well, I guess it's not bad about her. But we dressed up as, have you ever seen Proud Family? The Proud Family?
Proud Family,
it's
no,
a Disney Channel.
Mm-mm.
Well, this is going to make it tough.
Well, yeah.
It's not going to make it that tough.
I have a good imagination.
Yeah, so it's this Disney Channel show, a cartoon, and there was these three girls that were the bullies of the school, and they all wore... And they're called the Gross Sisters. Mm. And they all wore matching overalls and whatever. And there was a tall, big one. There was like a skinny, normal a skinny normal, like a just average, and then there was like a really, really short one. And our friend Kira was normal. I was tall and big. And then our friend, oh, I just said the real name. Whatever. Claudia, she goes.
We didn't hear that.
Claudia goes. Well, I guess Kira's her real name, but Kira's not the one who poops her pants. Claudia is.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So we're still safe.
Okay.
And she is the short one, right?
Uh-huh.
So we go out. We have fun. It's really funny. We get really drunk.
Right.
At some point, one of our friends got really, really drunk and kind of caused a scene with the people whose party we were at. Oh. And there was something about, they thought he was trying to steal their bong or something. Some kind of like
altercation
occurred, right? That's all I knew at the time. The next morning, we wake up, we're hungover as shit. We go to a diner to get breakfast. We're eating. We are still. Oh, and I forgot to tell you the best part. The Gross Sisters. In the cartoon, they're all blue. Their entire body is blue.
Oh,
so we had blue paint all over, like Blue Man Group. Like blue paint ever. And so we go to the diner and we still have like all, it's just like messed up. We just look, overalls, like we're smelly, like we're just a mess.
Right.
I don't know why we didn't just go back and shower and get ready. We went to go see someone's crush, like play soccer, had like a soccer game in the whatever.
Right.
We go, my friend Claudia goes, hey guys. Oh, wait, no. God damn it. She goes, okay, so she has to go.
We were so close.
I know,
we're
I'm so
there.
Bad at this.
I felt it.
Where's Tana? God damn it. Because it's so long ago, I don't remember. So actually, so she had to go to the person whose house the party was at to like apologize and like smooth over for her friend who was the one who caused the altercation.
Mm.
On her way there, she was so hungover, whatever, she poops her pants. She can't make it to the person's house, right?
Oh.
While she's in overalls and smeared blue face paint. And she goes in, doesn't tell them. She's like, has the conversation. She goes, can I use your bathroom? She goes in. She takes off her pants. She leaves them at their house.
Ah.
Walks out the door and says, okay, bye. And then walks out. All while wearing an overall. I think maybe.
What did she wear instead of the pants?
No, she took off her underwear.
Oh, God.
She left him, what, over the fucking
bathtub? I can't remember where she said she hit him. But
threw him in the toilet and closed the lid?
Maybe flushed him. I can't remember. But I just thought it was so funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's, pooping your pants is usually funny. With that being said, though, we are at the halfway mark. So this is the time where you can tell everybody that we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Hey guys, what's up? You are listening to Don't Mess with Christine Sedelko, and I hope you like the show so far. I sure do. I'm very talented. Don't Mess is a CastBox original produced alongside Studio 71, and if everyone listening right now could take a moment to rate and review this podcast, give me 5 stars, give me 6 stars, give me 7 stars, jailbreak the system, hack it, million stars, give me all your stars. Tell me how pretty I am. Tell me how pretty you are, but not as pretty as me. How pretty you are in comparison to me. And also, I forgot what I was saying. I'm bad at this. Thank you. Hey guys, we're back. Yes, there's still more and you still have to listen to me. I'm sorry. I just told a very long-winded story that I've since decided the punchline wasn't worth the effort of telling it.
At what point did you come to that conclusion?
Just during that break.
Okay.
So a little slow. So getting back to you, Brandon.
Yes.
Poopy pants. No. what are
some... Did you
ever
poop your pants?
Well, yes, it's cool. Happened. Have you also...
Like third grade or something. I had a mistake.
What about you behind?
I had an oops.
Mark behind the camera. Oh no, he's never pooped.
Yeah, come on, Mark.
Well, okay. As the only two truth tellers in this room, from truth teller to truth teller, I was about 10 or 11 years old. I was old enough to. I was like a little adult, I knew, and yeah, I was walking home from school. It was a 20-minute walk home from school, and at about the 10-minute mark, I knew. It's now or never. It's not gonna stay in. I've lost that all, autonomy with my anus. And so So I decided to I tried allowing like half a turd out, and just let me tell you, my butthole went from whistle to screamo in. If you can picture the shape of a mouth, and my pants became heavy. I went into, luckily there was a river, it was a bridge that I would cross on the way home, a river underneath, and I went down under the bridge like one of those women in National Geographic. I'm in the stream washing my
troubled water.
That's right. I'm washing my laundry in the goddamn river.
Oh my God.
And I left my underwear down there as well. And
it's a common thing.
I slapped my pants on a rock nearby until most of the solids were gone, and it was just stains. And then I think from then on, and then I walked home, and it was my secret until,
oh my God,
until now, I
that
suppose.
That is really, like, that's kind of dark.
How old were you?
I was about 10 or 11. I was in the fifth. I was the fifth grade, so about I was 10. Yeah,
that's like a really personal moment. Like,
what did you do, like, with the pants when you got home?
Oh, I threw them in the washing machine, and I...
You just got everything else contaminated.
I washed them by themselves. I was a smart kid. But, and luckily, my mom's...
So how smart were you to put your pants?
Well, I know. I was a good problem solver, but not a preventing... didn't prevent them very well. So that was my pooping pants story. And luckily, my mom's house has a shower with a hose. So you can imagine how beneficial that is when you shit yourself.
So you just went up there and hosed yourself off.
Oh, yes.
You know, Shane Dawson has done a couple of videos where he retells stories from his life.
Has he pooped his pants?
No. No.
Am I the only YouTuber who's pooped my pants?
Well, I'm sure he has. I mean, I'm sure there's probably a lot of people.
Believe me, I'm genuinely surprised I haven't.
Me too.
Maybe it's just because I never leave my house and I'm always near a toilet. I don't know.
It's never too late, Christine.
Well, you know. That's my true. Mom married at 34. Maybe I can poop my pants then, too.
Maybe you can poop your pants tonight when we hang out, huh?
This show has actually been brought to you by Depends, who is our new sponsor.
I thought it was
like a 6 of maybe 7 out of 10 of
these
a joke.
Pancakes are the most satisfying thing. For those of you who can't see, I'm playing with these pancakes I found as part of the set, and doggone it, I've hit the mic again. You can see these pancakes. They're foam pancakes, and they're slow rise, which is my favorite. Well, you've seen the fruits that I have in my... I have these prop food in my apartment that just like this, and they're made of the same stuff. Oh, it's so satisfying to touch.
Yeah, he lives like a mannequin.
Yeah.
I live like a mannequin?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, yeah, I only eat plastic. It does a number on my hole, but it goes down very slick.
Oh, yeah, we bonded over the fact that we only use plastic silverware.
Oh, I know.
Because we don't do dishes.
Yeah, because the thing is, I'm the kind of guy who lets my shit build up in the sink.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's terrible. But, okay, here's the thing. This is how I live. And people would hate living with me because I make everything. I don't own a microwave. I make everything on the stove, on the pan. And then when I'm done, I just lay a towel on the table and I eat out of the pan. And so I'm not using any dishes. And it's copper, so it doesn't scratch. But I do use plastic utensils, which are terrible. And I get so much shit for that. And I try and put them away. I tried putting them away before Christine came over. And she said, oh, my God, you use plastic utensils like me? And then I gave her a hug because most people just rustle my jimmies when they make that observation.
They rustle the gyms.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like that, too. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think efficiency is the key.
But see, I don't use... Like, I'm not putting as much dish soap down the drain, and I'm not using paper. It's just the utensils that are plastic.
I don't really have time to do dishes.
I don't either. And I'm the kind of person who will just let them stack in the sink.
Yeah.
It's like, I eat what I eat, and then I wash everything I used when I just cooked it, and then I put it away. Don't have to think about it. So I just only have a pan to scrub, essentially.
And do you have a hose in your current home? Just in case you have another accident?
No, I don't. I don't. I have a shower and a bathtub, though. I have two separate, two... I have both. Yeah.
Two of them. The same. Both of them. He's got both.
Christine's right. I do have a shower, which is a good place to. It's like a. It's a good. That's where I would probably wash myself if I ever shat my pants again. Mm-hmm. Is the shower.
Like hazmat suits. Like scrub down.
I just want to say, I look back at Christine and she's just grinning when I'm talking about shitting. Whenever I shit myself. And she's like, when will that be?
I'm like, he's so dreamy when he talks about his poop.
Yeah, it's actually, to be honest, it's the first time I've really seen Christine ever just light up like that.
Please shut
up.
So anyway, Brandon.
Yes.
So you kind of remind me of...
Oh.
A Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, I love Sacha Baron Cohen. He's so funny.
I was looking at Mark because he wrote that line that said that.
Oh.
But he didn't care.
So I don't remind. I remind
him. Is that
true?
Does he remind you of Sacha Baron
Cohen?
But
no, but I agree with his assessment. Yes.
Oh, well, yeah. Thank you. There's a few people that inspire me. And
I mean, honestly, I would love to know all of them. How did you
get
to that?
Well, how did I get to Sacha Baron, or how did I get? Well, the
we'll
people
get to where you are, I guess. I mean, through the inspiration.
Oh, wait, I think I know one of them because you told me.
I think I did. Tell me. It's probably who is it?
One, two, three. John Waters.
Yes. John Waters is probably my biggest. And I met him last week. I met him. And I got to tell him how much what an impact he's had on me. And those of you who don't know, he made a lot of films back in like the 60s and early 70s. Well, but his early work was very controversial, even for today's times. It's very, very shocking and disturbing. And he was pumping that out in the 60s. And so you can imagine the impact.
Yeah, I've seen the original Hairspray. Pretty bad.
Yeah, right. Judge Judy is another one. Judge Judy is a big, big, big hero of mine.
It's RuPaul's hero.
Wait, oh, is it really? Why?
It's someone so small who can command so much authority and create
with
a presence.
With just a finger.
And her wit is always on. It's the wit. And she is the best thing to ever happen to daytime television when I was a kid. Like, when I was a kid, I'd just stay home and watch her, and I would just, like, admire how quickly she would make someone feel so terrible. And then. Let me think. Who
That's
else?
Amazing. I've never heard anyone. Are you serious? You've never seen it? I've never heard anyone say that she is their inspiration.
Oh, big time. She is someone I very much look up to. And she like works out still to this day. And like she tells her husband, like, if either one of us, she's like, he and I understand that if either one of us ever get out of shape, then we're going to leave, then we divorce. And so it's like they both keep their body. I don't know. I love the drive that she has. And she's like, what, one of the most paid or the most paid person on television? Something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think that's like until this podcast goes to.
She's not a bad person to look up to. But I don't know. I guess I love anyone who has a distinct presence about them and are hard to replace.
Did you watch Nathan For You?
I've seen some of Nathan For You, but not enough, not as much as I should.
Because the thing is, I mean. With that question, I think the ultimate thing that you do a lot of the time, and you actually, I mean, you do this earlier in your career versus the skits and stuff, but like you mess with people. You love like getting in people's faces and making situations kind of uncomfortable.
Well, I like to be the cathartic experience for the viewer because I'm fortunate enough, you know, like Christine, we are fortunate enough to live a life where we get to say whatever we want, do whatever we want. We don't have to dress up for work, wear a uniform. We don't have to watch our language. We don't have to really, I mean, we get to be ourselves. And so I like to take that to the extreme of like for the people who, you know, are in the middle of the country or around the world who have lives where they have to dress up and wear their manners and keep a certain kind of composure. I like to be the snackable, cathartic experience of just how would you live life with no filter. For instance, a lucid dream where you know you're dreaming and can get away with saying or doing whatever you want. Like, I'm a big fan of that idea. Mm. And I'm a big fan of being sort of the scene maker that makes you cringe safely from your laptop or phone.
Are you trying to be a new version of the who was the guy, the director from the 60s?
John Waters?
Is that kind of the vibe?
No one could ever be the new. I could never be the anywhere near him, but I would like to be remembered in a similar aspect in a sense of
pushing the boundaries.
Pushing the boundaries at a time when because back then, you know, independent filmmaking was not a huge thing in the 60s and 70s. He was really trailblazing there with this alternative genre, and I like to think that at the turn of, you know, digital media now, I would like to be remembered as one of the first like very alternative types of humor that are out there. So
there was this one video that you had that I distinctly remember. I think it was like it must have been 6 or 7 years ago. You probably didn't watch you didn't watch YouTube before 2 years ago, right?
No.
So. Anyway, there was this video.
She was still swimming around in her daddy's nut.
I was a baby. Weird, creepy, weird. Why did I do that?
I didn't like it.
Continue.
So you were in a wheelchair, and you were pretending to be a disabled guy. It was, to me, when I watched it, it was just so like outrageous and so funny. No one had done that. It was like, this kid You actually just did it in a recent video as well, where you another kid got slapped in a wheelchair.
Yes.
Which I think to me, like,
well, Degrassi could shoot Drake in a wheelchair.
True.
I
me yes.
I.
Yes. Oh wait, no, he didn't have the. He was wheelchaired because he was shot.
Well, I
to be wheelchaired, is that a verb?
Sure.
Wheelchair.
It is now. The point is that you kept pushing the boundaries, and even back then, like. Yeah. I guess the real question was, do you ever look back at those ones and be like, okay, that might have been a little too much? Because we've changed. I mean, even in the past 2 years,
yeah,
the verbiage has changed of what we can use.
The fortunate thing is that a lot of my stuff is so over the top the entire way through that you really would have to be a miserable shithead to take any of it seriously enough to make a stink about it. And I think that just a lot of the humor, just the videos don't even take themselves seriously. I honestly... You know, growing up, I've always my whole family, like my dad is a comedian, he's a really funny guy, and I've grown up making jokes my whole life. Ever since I was a kid, I was always making jokes, and you learn the rules of comedy very soon. Especially if you're a kid who likes to be funny, you learn what's offensive. Oh, that made grandma upset. That made my friend at school angry. You learn what buttons not to press and. I don't know, where was I going with this? What were you asking me? It was.
Do you ever feel like you've pushed the boundaries too far?
Oh yeah. No, not at all. So I like to, you know, growing up, you learn, okay, that don't make fun of that. Don't do this. Don't blah 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 blah. I'm just pointing.
Make fun of my lamp.
I'm pointing arbitrarily, and so I like to be like now as an adult when you know the rules of this is funny, that's inappropriate, blah 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 blah. You kind of know which ones to break without hurting too many people. Like I don't know. There's always this kind of rule of, you know, people like being disabled is always usually off the table. Like you usually can't make fun of that. And it's like, I don't know. I like to make fun of any person, no matter what physical, mental, sexual, or religious or political state of mind or being they are. And I don't know. I don't
no
like
no one's off the table.
No one's off the table, and I don't like being a channel that feels like it caters to one, group or another. I like to feel like everyone is, you know, dangerous. I make fun of a lot of my own, you know, ethnicities, beliefs, you know, so on and so forth. And so, I don't know. I think as long as – I'd like to keep it just clever and quick, witty. I think if it's clever enough, I don't know. I don't know. The rules are very – every video I upload, I risk – I'm like, are people going to crucify me for this one? Even this last one, I thought we would get like a huge backlash.
Oh, with like the sex change stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't. Yeah, I just thought it was funny.
Yeah. Well, after it, like editing it for so long, the story starts to become. You start to forget why it's funny, and then all you see is the offensiveness, and you're just like, "Oh, have I created a monster? Like, have I created something that's gonna drive all my viewers away?"
I think
away?
The quick cuts help because it doesn't let people it digest with people. Like, it goes by so fast. They're like, "Was that racist? Oh, there's an extra. Oh, like it's just
yeah,
like
it's
you,
hard
know,
to
you
focus
can't process
on it.
It.
Yeah, it is. You like go through the ringer. It's just funny, 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 and then at the end you're just like, "What just happened?
Yeah, it's
I have
kind
to watch
of overwhelming.
Again."
You're like, "Wait, what?"
See,
yeah.
That's why I love editing it because like I experience how fun the video is while I'm editing it. So when people are enjoying the video when it's uploaded. I don't know. People, I think, enjoy them because I enjoyed cutting them together. It was really fun for me to cut that trailer together and to kind of make it better and better and better until I knew it was exactly where I wanted it and put it out to the world. And
Christine,
so,
does that sound appealing to you?
Oh, God, no.
You should,
there's never been a moment so where you've enjoyed that?
I mean, I want the end result of that. It's like, oh, this is a video that I am proud of and did well. I want that. I don't want the steps that it takes to get that.
But you don't want to, like, finesse, like the cuts, like I want it to cut at this point after I say this.
Oh, well, I give notes to my
editor. Oh, gotcha.
But not excessive, just
right.
Oh, take that out, oh, move that there. So
that makes sense. I've done that before, honestly. Well, I've worked on a show for full screen, you know, Magic Funhouse. And
yes.
For that one, I didn't have time to edit it because I was also directing. And they were cutting the episodes while we were shooting. And so I would have to leave notes, and I guess it's just it's pretty much you get your
was that tough
stuff.
For you?
It was kind of tough for me because I'm a very picky editor. And
you always edit your own stuff,
right? And as a fellow editor, I would see how other editors would cut a scene together. And as an editor, you have your own opinions that are different from everyone else. And it was hard for me to let go of saying like, "Does that look good? Like, do you really like that scene? Is that really the best?" Like knowing that like I could have. And it was hard. I'm like, no, you're not editing this project. Just give them the notes and be nice. And
but you also want it to be as successful as possible. Right. So it's like, dude, you should take that scene out because it's not funny.
Right. Well, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to hand over the keyboard and mouse and say, like, you edit this and I'll stand back. And it's really hard for me to do that because I'm so used to, ever since I started doing YouTube, I would cut my stuff together. And so.
And quite the opposite.
I was literally begging. I was like, please, someone just edit my shit. I don't even have iMovie on my laptop.
Really?
That can't be true.
I think it comes with it. No,
with
I deleted it for more space.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. That is, that's almost, that's aggressive.
Realize, like, how many kids would editing. Suck your dick to get that software?
Yeah. Well, oh, she.
I do have iMovie. Oh, no, I have to get it from the App Store. It's not downloaded. Yeah, I don't have it.
What about YouTube, by the way? Who do you watch on, who are, like, your YouTube inspirations?
Honestly.
Or who do you watch?
Honestly, well, Drew Monson, I've always thought was very, very funny. Christine, obviously, I've always thought was really funny. John Cozart. Yeah. Most of the people I'm a fan of, I've actually have either reached out to and or know or have worked with.
Who's next? Who's like one person you haven't worked with yet that you want to?
I don't know. I try and think of people who would fit well in my world. Like, Christine obviously fits well in my universe. John Cozart fits.
John's amazing. So funny.
Sky, of course, he fits in the universe. I don't want to pick. I don't like working with just any YouTuber that might be afraid. You know, I everyone I work with is very brave in their own, you know, or they're artists in their own way.
It's about the craft versus the numbers.
Yeah. So
right.
I
yeah. Well, for me, yeah, right.
Well, I mean. You were there to be a comedian, and you were really funny.
She was like, and you should have seen, we almost everything with Christine, we used the first take. We only, most.
It's funny, because I watch it, and I'm like, I didn't really think I was that funny. But I just feel like I never think I'm funny, so.
Well, then that's your thing.
But if enough people, if like people that I care about their opinion tell me, then usually I can be
well,
like,
somebody
okay.
who watched the video seven,
well, not
maybe
you,
eight times.
Because you have a really bad sense of humor.
I think it was. Well, that's not good then, because I think his channel is hilarious.
Well,
so
maybe she's right still. Maybe we both.
No, you can still appreciate good stuff. You just think that bad stuff is good.
No, just from you. I think it's just when you disagree that you're being funny.
I thought you
just
were,
let me be negative. No, just kidding.
I thought you're a lot of the stuff in that trailer was her idea, like shaving her leg in the tub.
Was it?
Yeah, you're like, can I be shaving the leg?
I didn't
and
remember.
Then cut to, I'm like lathering up your leg with shaving.
Oh yeah,
cream.
Like we're like making it look real.
Can we talk about why has that never been spoken about? The first day I work with Christine, I am covering. I'm like essentially shaving her leg.
Oh,
well, or literally
well, somebody has to, right?
On top of me.
Oh yeah, that's right. We had sex. And it was a very personal first day of working.
Yeah,
there.
I was like, oh, I didn't mind. It didn't seem awkward.
No, it did. But it was my test. See, now I know. Now we almost got that part. I know we can make anything.
Now if I actually come on to her. Yeah, right. That's yeah. No, it was really fun. And I don't hardly ever do like scripted stuff ever. So.
Well, I think the next two, I think you should do that, the second part of that, like the next movie trailer. And I really think that you guys should write something together, like for Christine to have a character.
Oh, I would love that. Well,
like for your chair.
She does that
or anywhere.
Wisconsin accent so perfectly.
Well, it's North Dakota, but it's also.
Did you ever see, what was the one that you
like
did?
It's like Canadian North Dakota.
The one that was entered into the festivals, the Eat Clay Love?
Oh, I did it in Eat Clay Love.
Did
yeah.
Did you see that? It was by Julian Salsa LaMotta who directed it.
What
and,
the fuck did you
oh
say?
My God, was that not his last name?
No.
Salamita?
Yeah. What did you just said? Like, I think that's like a chicken dish.
Oh my God.
Salsa verde.
I don't know where that came from. As soon as I said it, I was like, that was longer than I anticipated.
This is a short film or a.
Yeah. It was like a. For Bufferfest.
Oh, okay.
But I also. I wasn't proud of that either because I kept going. We had to shoot in just one day and I kept going in and out of the accent because I was nervous and like we didn't have time to like for me to do
it's
it,
it's
right.
You should watch it though, it's very funny.
I mean I think it's funny overall.
I got oops
and a lot of it was improv so I don't think I delivered them well enough because I didn't have them memorized,
right.
I didn't run lines because a lot of it was just improv, so it's just like
I have a question I want to ask you. I'm gonna put my hand right here. I don't know, do we have time for one question?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And that is actually what we do here, so that's good.
Okay. Oh yeah. Good, yes, this is actually this feels
I've
right
really never done
Everyone does.
It feels so. It just it's there for that. I think
that's why.
So the one of the videos that I'm sure is one of like your most classically known clips of you is when you're in the car freaking out about being too famous to go inside. That was the first thing I've ever seen of you. I have to ask, what there has to be some sort of story behind that, or were you just doing a video and that randomly came out of your mouth?
So our vlogs were the way we kind of it's kind of like a self. Produced reality show where you set the situations for yourself and then you let yourself react naturally whenever. So we had this thing. I think it was planned that I was going to be like, they knew my order. I'm too famous.
And
storm out and then get, and then I just started talking. And so, and I just said, and that fucking word shooketh. I don't even think it's funny.
Okay.
It's not funny. Like it's just
catchy though.
It's weird. And then now it's like Forever 21. It's like on their website or like in their store. It's like spring collection. We're shook. I'm like, how did like one word I said that like literally?
You should have got a copyright on that.
I don't even. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
No, we tried.
They're using it.
Did you try really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, I was like,
shook
why?
It.
Yeah, that's. It's just so.
Damn.
Yeah. But it's like you can't choose what goes like that. Some people will be like, Shooketh's not even funny. I'm like, I agree with you, asshole. Like, I
didn't use it again, though, too, in the song? You used it again.
Yeah, we made a song.
It was incredible.
It was, the song was fun, yeah.
The song was awesome. The song, actually, I think, what was it, 2016 or 17?
17.
It was my, I'm not even joking, it was my number one most played song on Spotify for 2017.
Wow.
And that's saying a lot because I listen to really good
that
music.
That also was, that was written in one night.
It's also saying.
Well, what is the song? Wait, I need to listen to this.
The was pre-written, but like the verses were in one night.
Do you want to sing it?
I'm so
sorry, sing it right
I haven't
now?
Heard this.
Why don't you do your verse?
Absolutely not.
Why don't you do it right now?
Not in a
no? I'm very, very embarrassed that I haven't heard this song. What is it called? Because I'm going to listen to it on my way home.
It's called
Shooketh. Okay, yeah. I'm going to go on Spotify.
It's like I hate it at the same time, but then I was like, oh, I guess we got to put it on merch. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll make money off it, but I, like, whatever.
We, I mean, honestly, it's actually about time that you come out with a new song.
Oh, you know, that is definitely not going to happen. Ever.
Okay.
Oh, my God. That does sound,
just cross that off.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's, we'll talk after this. We'll make something happen. You'll be the last to know.
Well, on that note, let's go convert it into a recording studio and get started on that new single.
So this is the last
That was episode. My outro. That was my attempt at an outro. I am still bad at this.
No.
Thanks, guys, for listening / watching, and thank you for coming, Brandon. I hope you... What do you... I hope you... I hope I learn how to do a podcast well soon. But anyway, how are you... What are you doing? What are you promoting?
Yeah, what is the next project? What do you, what's the next thing you're working on?
Ooh, what is the next thing? I don't know yet. I'm going to release a video in a week and a half, and I don't know what it's going to be yet. But we have a couple ideas we need to talk about.
You're going to put the same level of production into something that's in a week and a half and you don't know what it is yet?
Well, that's how it was with this last one. I didn't really know what the trailer was going to be about until like maybe a day or two before I sent the script over to
you. That is insane. Seriously.
And that was a week before we started, so before it uploaded. So yeah, I work very last minute. I'm a big procrastinator.
Mm-hmm.
I really am.
Me too.
It's great.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. I hate. Goodbye. Don't miss. Don't miss.